Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. With all the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving, big poker night. Got to go out and make a year's worth of income. Got to go to work. Anyways, what's going on, everybody? I hope you're having a great day. Hope you enjoy the Thanksgiving holiday. And markets are quiet, as suspected. I don't think there's anything shock here. But what I thought I'd do today is share with you the Monday night recording, because I think it's pretty good. And so I'm going to check to put you in it right now. Here we go.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard. It is Monday night, and we got Monday Night Football, we got Monday Night Bubba, and we got Thanksgiving coming up, and the holiday trade has already begun. Not much going on. You know, fairly quiet today, but pretty interesting action, though, I think. Last night opened a tad higher. It was plunging overnight and then decided that it didn't want to plunge anymore, and the plunge protection team came in and lifted them back up to profitability, and, of course, it's the way it's been. Yeah, TOS has heat charts as well. Yeah, if I knew how to use them, I'd show you, but we'll look at it a little bit. But in the meantime, I mean, again, that's what the market, that's what we've said almost every week is, you know, there's no reason to try to step in front. We're going to just let the markets trade and look for the good footprint, whether it be long or short, and not try to pick an overall direction from here, because first of all, the seasonality of the market doesn't dictate a sell-off is coming yet. And the overall markets themselves, the volume, the volatility, nothing would indicate that it'd be time to sell this market. Not that I really want to jump in and buy it, which you'll hear as I go through everything, and you'll see what I will be wanting to buy. But in the meantime, here we are, right? And that's what it is. I mean, that's the whole key. The patience to wait and not do anything sometimes is a better trade than anything. So just keep that in mind. And, of course, this Friday is Black Friday, and of course, I'll be doing my annual Black Friday webinar, which I cover a lot of ground in a short period of time. But you're free to come by, and you might have had the invitation already, but it'll be fun. It'll be good, and I cover futures, options, hedging, stocks, the world. All right, and answer all your questions as well. So if you want to come by, great. That's my shopping. That's my Black Friday shopping. So I do that. And in the meantime, every call always starts out with our words of wisdom from our friend Connie, who I think, I don't know if she's here yet. She got a flat tire. She wanna let me know. She takes notes for us, and she got a flat tire, and she's not here yet. So that's all cool. But in the meantime, nothing is scalable or repeatable comes from extraordinary events. And that is correct. Extraordinary events are eventually they're readable, but they're not necessarily repeatable. And that's something that you have to just understand as you go through, is to, you know, watch these things and learn from each and every move, because the market does leave a footprint, and that's what we're always looking for, is that market footprint that it leaves for you, because again, it will help you and it will guide you, whether you're trading in 1 minute time frame or you're trading in a hour, daily, weekly, it doesn't matter. They're always going to have a footprint that will guide you through that point of the market. And of course, if I'm not bitching, then something's wrong. And of course, this is my Bubba's Bitch. And of course, tonight, I'm really, you know, I'm sure everybody's followed the stories of Al Franken and Weinstein and all these other guys, but the politician part. And I tell you, why do they get to live under special laws? I don't understand why they have special laws that they get to live under. You know, they don't pay for the health care. They have they're immune to sexual abuse. And I don't think that's right. And I'm kind of pissed off about it. I mean, you know, I get pissed off a lot of things, but that's something that really is, I find irritating. In fact, I've written about it for years. And of course, it's still the same. And you know, they should kick these guys out. I mean, I don't know what the big deal is. I think that, you know, there's a problem, and typically where there's smoke, there's fire. And, you know, I just think that, that it needs to be adjusted, and they need to live under the same laws that they make for you and me. So anyways, as you may or may not know, Janet Yellen did resign today. And, of course, I don't think it makes a difference. I mean, they're all from the same cloth. They all do the same thing. And they're basically, they do, you know, whatever it takes to prop up the markets. And not anywhere in their mandate does it say that they're responsible for the stock markets, but that's what they found to do what it is. And I think that that's, I don't know, you know, I said to me, it doesn't matter. And of course the markets didn't care either. So that would be the first evidence that you'd be looking at is that the markets didn't care. Charlie Rose was accused of sexual assault today too. And naturally, again, I don't, you know, obviously with communication and the technology today, it comes out a lot faster. We know this has been going on for a billion years, but again, it's out and it shouldn't be done. And I'm really, it really irritates me, that people get away with it. And, but anyways, that's that we're here for. So the Dow Jones was up a little bit today, about 70 points. And, you know, actually, if you look at it and you remember from last week, we thought that this area here would be some support about the 20, you know, 23.3 or somewhere in that neighborhood. And sure enough, it came right down to support, tried to break it through, and then popped it right back up again. Again, I am not a buyer, but if you choose, if you'd like to get long, then 23.3 is probably still pretty solid. I'm not really ready to short yet because I don't believe this range is big enough and it hasn't done what I'd be looking for. But if you're somebody who says, you know what, I'd like to find a spot, you know, probably at the upper end, 23.6 would probably be a spot that you'd want to look at. Now, again, I don't recommend getting short yet, and nobody wants to be short more than I do, okay? But I do believe that if you want, that would be the two ranges I would play. And then you'd have to consider, is 300 points enough in a 23,000 point index? And I would, my answer would be no, most likely. Okay. The S&P, yes, Sierra Papa X-ray. Pretty much the same. Now, this is a little bit more bearish than the Dow, but still the same thing. Again, we're still under a major level of support. We're still in a quiet, drifting market. That dull markets drift higher. That's just a fact, okay? If you have to remember why the markets are going up, and the markets are going up, you know, you can talk about the economic data, which I don't believe in. I think it's all crap. But besides that, money flows in every day. Whether we're going up or we're going down, there's buyers every single day that flow in. So with lack of sellers or lack of trade, the markets are going to drift higher. So that's why we're not really in a hurry to try to short this market, because if you're in a hurry, you're just going to find yourself chasing out and getting out again. I would think here you're probably looking at the same, you know, 2570, same as we talked about last week, 2560, and up near 2600 if you're going to sell it. But again, I think there's better trades that you can sell and better things you can find to short than the major indexes right now. I just think that you're better off.
And of course, that's one of the things that I talk about all the time is the key in this game. And we're all guilty of it. We all want to get in. We all want to miss the boat. But it's patience. And if you're not willing to be patient, then you're most likely going to find yourself in a problem. And that's always, you know, it's better to miss a trade than get into all the losers. So I urge you to wait for the right opportunities. I also think that you should check out my highschoolinvesting.com website. And maybe you'll want to help us continue to educate America's youth, which is done at Patreon, patreon.com/BubbaTrading. That's patreon.com/BubbaTrading. But we're looking for some donors to help out. I've financed myself for the last 6 years and I'm running out, and it's time to bring in some help. So if you'd like to, please do. And of course, don't forget to download the show every single day at libertytalk.fm. And you can download the Bubba Show as well as the Sporting Edge. And of course, you know, tomorrow's Thanksgiving, got football games, and I'll have my selections before the show is over. In the meantime, this is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz. I'm going to step out here for break, and I'm going to come back. We'll get the rest of the indexes and gold and everything else, and we'll do some more in a little bit. We'll be right back. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz. Welcome back. back, my friends, to the show that never ends. It's the Bubba Show. All kind of energy all the time, every day, all day. Anyways, today is Wednesday. Tomorrow's Thanksgiving Day. And, of course, we're replaying part of our webinar. And I want to remind everybody, if you'd like, I do a daily update every single day live. And I email it to you immediately. You can watch it on YouTube. All you got to do is go to BubbaTrading.com, and you can check that out. In the meantime, let's get back to the call. We're going to get to the NASDAQ and the Russell and the rest. Here we go.
The NASDAQ, Charlie, Oscar, Michael, Peter. And, of course, as we suspected, it would go up and test the highs. And it, sure enough, here it is, right at the upper end. It held up. You know, it tried to break down today a little bit, but it did hold. And, you know, at the end of the day, here we are. Now, you really want to sell this here when every other time it's popped up? Again, the selling, the shorting of this market will come not on the way up. It will come on a down move like this that then fails back on its way up. It will not come from this pattern. I mean, again, I think you're hurting yourself by trying to figure out where it's going to stop instead of waiting and getting a legitimate reason that it will stop. Okay. That's really the case that we want to make and what we want to look for. And of course, the Russell, the one index that we would be willing to sell, look what happened. There you go. All right. So we talked about this, and this is right where our sell area would possibly be if we wanted to sell it. All right. Now, this was the weakest index, and it certainly proved it. And look at where it came down to. We called for 1450. Okay. Look where it came to. The low was 1454. All right. So, again, it was a natural bounce if you wanted to play it. Now, I'm not saying that you should have played that. I'm just saying that that would have been where you want to get in, and that's why you wouldn't want to sell it, because we don't want to sell it into the hole as they're going down. Remember one thing. We're going to always – our goal will always be to sell into resistance in a market that's trying to trend lower and buy into support in a market that's trying to trend higher. That's where you will end up with the best results. I will attempt – occasionally I'll call a top or I'll call a bottom. But most of the time we're trying to look for the key footprint and selling into resistance. Now, this Russell could be – a reasonable spot to take a stab at. Now, again, you are fighting up against the highs. The only thing that I could see here is the speed and the angle in which it's going up. That would be the only thing that might let me want to sell this. And I'm not going to sell this, but that would be the one thing that I would consider. And I wouldn't consider it till about 1510. I'd like to see it extend a little bit more before I'd go out and sell this. So basically, the indexes are all kind of neutral. I've given you some levels, but there's not a lot to look at. Crude oil. We're now into January, and of course, crude was pretty dull and flat. But again, I don't think anybody should be surprised by today's action. Now, this is made, you know, a breakout and has run up, and we were short this, and of course, we did very well until the end of it, which is usually what will happen. So now, what's next? Well, I think that we're looking for a spot to short. The first thing is, I happen to know that there's a big resistance level up here at the 60 level, number one. But number two, this is being more driven up not by fundamentals, and we don't really trade fundamentals, but it's more being driven up by fear. And how do I know that? Well, I'm going to show you how I know that right now, okay? Because this is important. Just again, it's only important if you want to step in front of it, okay? And what you have here is you have the monthly prices. Oil expires every month. And what you're seeing here is the premiums between month to month are narrowing, which means that the front months are full of fear right now because of whatever's going on. And that's more what's driving the market. Now, it doesn't mean that it will not continue to go higher. It just means that your probability goes up if you can find a solid level to go ahead and short this. And of course, I'm going to tell you that my level here would be 58. I would be a happy seller at 58. I believe that that's the top anyways, but you're going to watch. It's going to most likely bounce off of 55 again. It's not going straight down either way, but it will churn in this range. But again, anytime it gets to the upper end, I'm going to be a seller. And as it comes down to the bottom, I'll tighten up my stop and look to get out. And I will trade the actual crude. Gold. Boy, that get clobbered today. A little anger issues. But again, we wouldn't be surprised that gold got clobbered today. Why? Look at the pattern. Look at where we had it. These aren't new lines. These were here from last week. Here we go. We came right up to resistance, which is 1300, which is what we thought. Okay, we wanted to be buyers. We never got, well, we get close. But again, it doesn't matter. Here we are. So now we're coming down. So I'm just telling you right now, I'd be looking to be a buyer at 1270. I think 1270 is a great level. I think it held beautifully. And I'd step in and be happy to be a buyer there. I'm not as anxious as a seller at 1300. But certainly if I bought it at 1270, I wouldn't mind selling some there. All right. I think we've got one more breakout coming here. And of course, you know, you've got some of the cause and effect of all this stuff. But in the meantime, the footprint itself has been as accurate as can possibly be. The bonds, Zulu Bravo. Okay, these are going to roll over soon. Actually, let's find out when before I do this. I just want to see. We're getting close to that, 9 more days. All right, we're getting close to that triple witching expiration cycle again. And what happens is, what used to happen is they used to roll them all over at one day on the third Friday. But now to eliminate volatility, they start rolling over everything over piece by piece, and the bonds are first. So here we are. Okay, I think these are an outstanding area to sell at about 154.13, 154.10. Anywhere around there, I think, is a great spot to sell these. The trend is lower. We know the Fed is going to hike rates, which should drive bonds lower. Higher bonds, lower rates. Lower bonds, higher rates, which I think that's where we're headed. So certainly, this is a great resistance level to go ahead and sell. And 154.10 to 13, or somewhere, again, anywhere in that neighborhood. I mean, we're not going to worry about one tick about that. But that's where I would look to be a seller, because I think that, you know, we're going to be heading much lower. And it was pretty interesting action overnight, because they got up to 154.13 and broke all the way down. And now they're going up again. So I sold some overnight. But here, I'm going to look to be selling them again, because the chart justifies it. We're at the top end of the range. And even a move down to 151.28, which would be my first support level area, all right, would be a pretty good, a nice profit. So I wouldn't be concerned about that. And that's, again, you look at how much can you make. And if you sold at 154, you could make, you know, $1,100 on one contract if it went down to where we think it's going to. The euro currency, 6E. All right. So this is rolling over soon, too, but we'll still be following December for the next few days. So let's look at December. Okay. And again, here we thought that 118 was a reasonable spot to take a look at selling it, and 119. Well, it got to almost both of them. Now, again, I would expect to see this come down probably to 116 or so before turning around. It may pause at 117. This is a very key area. If this breaks here, it's going much lower. I don't think it's going to break it yet. It may have one more charge in it. But again, this is something that we have on, some of us have the, you know, this is something that you look at, and you'll look for an opportunity. And of course, you want to sell into the rallies, and that would be, you know, what we'd be looking to do is, you know, sell into individual rallies. And again, each chart is independent. It doesn't, I'm not comparing this, you know, to anything else. It's an independent chart. And, you know, you look at it from that perspective. You don't want to compare it to, well, this is going, it doesn't matter. And that's always something that you have to remember is important. The British pound. Oh, look at that. See, we didn't quite get to our area we wanted to get in. Now, if it doesn't fail here, we'll have to reestablish a new area. All right. This is where we wanted to get in, right here about 130. All right. It did not get there. So we'll see. If you're still in the 6HB or whatever, what was that? 6B, whatever. What's the symbol for that? I forgot. Oh, it's FXB, I think. Is that right? Let me just look real quick. I know some of you got into that, so I just want to make sure okay. This is the ETF that represented. I would certainly take some profit here, or tighten up your stop if you're in this. Okay. And the dollar, all right, is back down along support. Now, I thought we'd break above 95 last week. We did not. We failed, and now we're back on the bottom, and I think the dollar's probably in a great spot to rally. You saw a rally today. And I think that will probably continue, and I think we'll probably be in this range again. I don't think much is going to happen this week in general. I think you look for the markets to, you know, kind of churn. I don't see anything unless there's a major crisis, which a number of years ago we had a major crisis on over Thanksgiving weekend in Dubai with oil, and the markets got creamed on the Friday morning. But by the afternoon, they closed at 1 o'clock by the way on Friday. By the time they came back, they were already back to almost unchanged, but they were getting creamed early.
And this is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Go to libertytalk.fm and download the show every day, as well as the Sporting Edge. And we're going to step out here for a break, and we'll be back with more of the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz on this Wednesday before Thanksgiving. We'll be right back after the break. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got the Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you, give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. To the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And of course, don't forget my football picks are coming up. You don't want to miss those. Anyways, let's get back to our webinar. Here we go.
And of course, our sad old friend, the VIX, which is once again peaked. Okay. And again, this is why I warn always, when you see this spike up, it usually isn't very good. It's going to usually reverse. And the exact, I mean, because that's like a blow off pattern in anything. And of course, what happened? Reversed and came all the way back down again. So I would expect, you know, again, we thought a couple of weeks ago that the VIX should make a new low. I think that probably make another new low. Again, there's no reason for me to get excited that the markets are going to either get volatility yet or break down. You are in the most historically the most bullish time of the year. Anyways, and a market that's been up this much is even a little bit more bullish. So, again, I'm not buying, but I'm certainly not going to step in front of the train right here either. So politics impact on commodity prices. You bet your sweet potatoes they got a big impact. This whole currency war, central bank garbage that's keeping, you know, ask the farmers how they feel about the commodity prices. They're getting murdered out there with these low prices. I mean, it's good for a guy like me because I'm buying all those commodities right now because I think that that's the right play for a long-term gain. I buy them like stocks and hold them. So, but the politics are killing these prices along with everything else they do. So it's something to just keep an eye on because, you know, you find yourself a good level and you're going to probably find a pretty good pop in something like that if you're trading that stuff. As the plunge begin, and this is, we talk about this a few times, but here is a look at the yield curve, and that is the difference in rates between, in this chart, it's twos to tens, two-year notes and 10-year notes. But the whole yield curve takes in bills to bonds, which is, you know, from daily to 30-year or so. And, of course, the curve is collapsing. It's flattening. And if it inverts, that's where it doesn't make sense that everybody says how bullish the economy is. Because if the economy was bullish, the curve would not be collapsing. It would be going out like it's supposed to. The curve is supposed to go up, not down. So what's happening is short-term rates are plunging, are rising into long-term rates are coming down, which is a terrible scenario for the net economy. But again, it is what it is, and it doesn't change what we talk about. But it's just something, again, just things that you could know. The game changer from Tesla. Now, I got a question for you guys. Do you think that Elon Musk tried to pull a fast one on Friday? You know, the short interest is what the highest it's ever been coming into last week and on Friday. So he chose to make this announcement on Friday. You think that he's a pretty smart guy, right? You think maybe he was goofing around a little bit? You never know. Bulls are buying the dips, even as stocks are sliding. And again, there's things that are bearish about the market. But at the end of the day, it's not a bearish market, right? But the bulls are still buying. And I think here's one of the things you want to understand, which we've talked about a number of times, is the dip buyers are not necessarily commercial buyers or big money buyers. You have margin debt that sets a new record every single day. So everybody's pouring in. Does that sound familiar? And again, I know if you watch the news, everybody says, well, this isn't 1990s. It's not that. It's not that. No, every market is different, but every market ends the same way. All right. We know a couple of things factually over the 150-year cycle of the market. On average, it goes up 8 to 9% year over year. It doesn't go up every year. When markets get too extended, they collapse, and then they go up later. But again, that's how the markets work. That's the function of the market. And that's why, you know, hey, again, I'm not predicting. I'm just saying. Economists can't explain the cryptocurrency. Well, the economists can't explain anything. I mean, they would never tell you about that the market was a bubble until it was far too late to tell you it was a bubble. You know, they're still trying to figure out, you know, their formula. You know, you have to understand, and I know most of you are entrepreneurs and is successful in business. And what you got to understand is that they can't think on their feet. They don't have any clue. So they're going to naturally call cryptocurrencies a bubble. And I'm not saying it's not a bubble, right? I was an anti-crypto guy when they first came out, but I'm starting to be more of a believer. And certainly when you put the CME and the CBOE behind it now, that they're going to actually put products up for this, then they actually believe that they're legitimate products to trade as well. Now, this is the latest commercial. I mentioned this last week because I just seen it for the first time. Now they're all over the place. And Ron Paul, you know, first he's talking about gold, and he's talking about cryptocurrencies. I'm just saying, look, I have no problem with any investment that anybody wants to make. Okay. But I warn everybody that don't put too much money in any one thing unless you can lock that up with a perfect hedge. If you can lock it up, then you do whatever you want. It doesn't matter. But if you're not hedging and you're not locking it up, then don't put any one asset class, all your money into one asset class. You're looking to be in trouble if you do that. And obviously, when you watch these commercials, whether it be gold or cryptocurrencies, they're trying to convince you to take every dime you have and go into their thing. And of course, that's always a place for disaster. Any idea what the size will be in the Bitcoin futures? All right, Chops. You know, I think it'll be reasonably priced. I think it'll probably be on the price line of the S&P or the Dow. You know, it'll probably be, you know, whatever. What are the Bitcoin? $8,000 right now. So they'll probably make a contract that'll be, let's say, $100,000 and trade in increments of that. You know, all contracts have an overall value. You know, like the currencies are $125,000 full contract value. The bonds are $100,000. Okay. They'll have a full value, and then they'll break down the tick size. And then the tick size is what you care about, not the actual. And I'm assuming the tick's going to be small enough to make it liquid where they want people trading. You know, the biggest tick size is the bonds, which is 32.25. But the better tick size that everybody has found is about $5. So it'll probably be in an increment of $5, and that'll probably be the minimum price movement, would be my guess. Unbridled exuberance. Okay. I mean, do we have that now? I don't know. But if you listen to TV guys, except for me, and if you listen to the pundits and you listen to the advisors, everybody tells you we're going to the moon. Okay. I'm not saying we're not. I'm not predicting today is the end of the world. I never predict the end of the world. And one thing I want to remind you always, I'm always long. I mean, I never sold a stock, you know, and I haven't sold a stock in 30 years. So I'm not getting out. I'm just, you know, I trade to the short side in the short term, and I'm hedged in the long term, so I don't really care. But I do sense that there's some issues here. And again, the more they keep telling me that everything's okay, you know, every big crash, every big market meltdown is started out with somebody telling us that everything was perfect and there was nothing to worry about. Okay. And if you're a member of the firm, Wilford Brimley, I get paid to worry about something when I got nothing to worry about. I mean, does this bother you at all? China's testing weapons that can reach the U.S. in 14 minutes? I don't know. Does it bother you? Now, here's another issue, another problem. Okay. No down payment. No problem. There's banks are starting again. No down payment. You can get a house. No problem. Now, what is the problem with that? The problem is the banks don't really care. I mean, it's a hard asset they're going to end up owning if you go bad. They're going to get some money out of you, and you're going to make a few payments either way. But the problem is you get no skin in the game, so there's no reason to pay for it. If you can't, you're not going to try to make it happen. If you got skin in the game, it's a little bit different. You work a little harder. Right? So, you know, again, are we going through the same thing again with, you know, no down payment, you know, no doc loans, the whole deal? I always worry about those things. Earnings versus interest payments. Well, again, we could talk about how great the economy is, except that nothing's really growing. High yield bonds are getting smashed, and they're supposed to be high yield. Well, what does that mean? It means that people are chasing junk. It's a pretty simple formula, all right? If you're chasing junk bonds that are supposed to pay 10%, you're getting 2%. You're not getting the right number. You know, if you're a math person or a probability person, you have to get certain amounts of numbers for something. You can't just settle for just because. And that's a problem. And then we got this guy, Chicago's own, another nut from Chicago. You know, again, they want to convince us that we need inflation. They want more inflation. Why do they want inflation? Because they want to make you pay for everything that they do. That inflation is more of a hidden tax because they inflate. You know, they were having this discussion today. I was listening, and they were talking about, well, you're making more money. I go, yeah, but my buying power is no more, is less than it was 25 years ago. Okay? I'm not making the equivalent to what my buying power was then. All right? I find very few households today that can live with one person working. So, you know, again, these guys are all full of it, in my opinion.
And of course, they are full of it. And that's, of course, we're talking about the Federal Reserve and Charlie Evans and all the whole crew. They're all whacked out of their minds without a clue of what's going on around them. And of course, you put them in a desert, they'd never find their way home. I'm sure they don't know that the sun sets in the east, rises in the east, and sets in the west. But that's what they are, and that's what we have to deal with. And unfortunately, I want to do a much better job in my high school investing class teaching kids about financial literacy so we don't have these problems. I won't be here, but somebody will be, and I hope that I can leave the place better than I got it. But of course, go to highschoolinvesting.com, check it out. And if you want to help out, it's Patreon, patreon.com/BubbaTrading. I have financed it myself for 6 years, and I got 300 high schools. I'm now looking to get to a lot more, so I could certainly use the help. If anybody wants to check it out, that's patreon.com/BubbaTrading. In the meantime, libertytalk.fm, the only station you need for content. You can come, we get everything, and you can check it out all you want, and you can download the Bubba Show there every day, as well as the Sporting Edge. And don't forget about my daily updates, which I do every day right after the close, and email them right to you. Just go to BubbaTrading.com, the box will pop up, and you can take advantage of getting my updates for free. And that's going to step out for the break here, and we're going to come back and clean it up the rest. But this is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And, of course, we're playing a little Monday, and we're going to do a talk of football at the end and give you some selections for tomorrow. Thanksgiving Day, when we go eat till we drop. In the meantime, let's get back to the webinar. Here we go.
Yeah, so these are all my opinions, not necessarily fact. You got $1 million to retire? Well, here's a time frame of how long you can live in certain states. Missouri is the longest, 25 years, 6 months. Hawaii is the shortest, 13 years, 1 month on $1 million. Okay. You know, again, $1 million isn't what it used to be, right? What's happening in America's good jobs? Well, the problem is there's no more factory jobs, basically. You know, the biggest part of jobs that we're missing, there's plenty of jobs available, except that like a guy like me, I'm not qualified for anything. Where am I going to go? You know, am I going to start learning how to code or do computer work or digital work? I would have no idea where to start. I got trouble getting the sound working here. We finally got it working though, right? I haven't heard one thing yet today. I'm happy. Yeah, what a miracle. In the meantime, that's the problem. Okay. We've gotten everything is robotic now, and it's only going to get worse. Hopefully, we just have to get through really the next 15 or 20 years, because that's where the shift starts again. I mean, the guys 45 to 65 is where all the issues are right now, guys and gals. But that's the problem. All right. So, you know, Donald Trump, President Trump, and I like Trump. I mean, but he can talk his jobs all he wants. These jobs are not good. You're not seeing the wage increase. You're seeing a lot of service jobs. Yeah, anybody can go work as a service job, no problem. But if you want to get a job that's going to pay you a good money with health insurance and with benefits and a 401k, those jobs aren't around for most anymore for guys my age. Markets are trapped in the zombie-like state. Well, that's, we figured that for this week, right? There wasn't going to be much going on, but again, the markets are going to, I assume my guess is, I mean, there might be a busy day or two over the next 5 weeks or so, but I don't expect much. And I would not expect to see anything crazy. I would expect to see what we see right now continue. You get an occasional push, but that'll be it. None of the problems are solved despite the plunge protection overnight. All right. Now, again, last night, overnight, boom, they were killing everything. Every market in the world was getting murdered last night in the middle of the night. Right. Well, you know what happens, right? The some central bank stepped in, and of course, there you go. All right. That's it. Boom. They got it to turned around and they got the dip buyers back coming in. And that's, again, this is not unusual. This happens all the time. And then, of course, the $2.4 trillion hidden Fed tax. And that is something, you know, again, the Fed has built a balance sheet of about $5 trillion. All right. The stock market has made about $5 trillion. In the meantime, the investors aren't giving their money back, which means that somebody's going to have to pay off that $5 trillion. And you know where that's coming from, right? That's coming from inflation. That's coming from you and me. That's going to come from taxes, right? That's why this whole tax plan is a crock, right? It's ridiculous. They did not one person that I've been on air with or that I've talked to. And when I go on air and I go, well, what about the debt? Does anybody care about the debt? Nobody cares about the debt. That's the amazing thing. And if you know who Patrick Burns is, who is the CEO of Overstock, you know, they were one of the first big companies to take Bitcoin. And he started beating down on the dollar and the what was going on. And he's right. I mean, the dollar is not truly what it was meant to be, what it was designed to be, which is an asset that somehow has a real value. The dollar doesn't have any value. It has debt tied to it. OK, it's something that somebody else can manipulate by just changing it, all right? So that's the problem. If you look back, go back and look at some dollars from back in the day that said certificate or silver certificate, which you could go trade a dollar in for a Morgan Stanley dollar silver, where now they say note, Federal Reserve note, which is a loan, all right? So again, you look at it however way you want. I mean, to me, they're destroying the dollar and they're destroying the purchasing power of the dollar, and that's just the way that life goes. I mean, you know, again, it's just something that needs to be addressed, but it will never be addressed as long as the Federal Reserve has the rights to print as much as they want to print, and as long as banks can continue to go on hack and be too big to fail, and as long as there's fractional banking where they can basically print money themselves. You'll never change that until those things change. All right, let's look at some stocks. Apple. Please explain why last Friday the Dow was down 100 and the VIX was down also. That's a good question. Well, because the market was actually not really down. I mean, it was down, but the Russell was up big. Okay. The volatility index is based on investors or traders buying or selling puts. All right. If investors are buying puts to open, the VIX will go higher. If investors are selling puts to open, the VIX will go lower. So even though the market was down, and that's a good sign to watch. We talk about that a lot. Typically, a market that has a down VIX in a down market, the market is going to most likely turn around and rally, which it kind of did. In an up market and an up VIX, the market's probably going to start to sell off at some point. And that is something for you to understand. And again, it's a great question, right? So good job. That was a good BB. What did that mean? Help me. All right. So Apple, Alpha, Alpha, Papa, Lima. And we've been kind of bearish Apple, and it's working its way a little bit lower. And here it is kind of hovering around 170. Now, I believe that 162, 165 are the next targets to come to. But certainly I would not be a seller here. If I were going to trade Apple today, I would have to be a buyer. Okay. I believe it could pop back to 175-ish. Now, I'm not going to be a buyer myself. I would only be a seller, so I'd be looking for the rally to sell. And as a seller, I would first look at my first resistance target would come at 172, 172.50. The question you have to ask yourself is the one I asked earlier, is a $2.50 move big enough in a $175 stock? And the answer is no. So if I want to be very aggressive, I might take a look at it there. But more than likely, I would wait and see if it would rally higher. And then if it got to 172.50 and failed, then maybe I would take a stab at it, hoping that it would break the support when it came back down. But that would be more of a tricky trade. And I would not make that trade under the current conditions, lack of volatility, lack of volume. Because, again, the volume and volatility are what you need to push a stock up or down through a key level. No problem, sir. Oh, no problem. Thank you. I got it now. Bubba's bitch. All right. It's okay. You're late. You get the recording. It's all good. All right. We can't always be here. You know, only me. I'm only always here. All right. So here we're, you know, pretty much neutral, but, you know, 175, I'd love to be a seller. All right. 162.50, I'd love to be a buyer. Other than that, I'm kind of watching. Amba, Alpha Bravo, Alpha Michael Bravo Alpha. So we said 55 to 58. Well, it broke a little bit below 55, but look what happened. It popped right back in. It's really still in this range. I don't think 55 to 58 has changed. It's got earnings coming out. Is that next week? Right. A week from Thursday. I mean, I'd be a seller at 58. Under any circumstances, I remain to want to be a seller at 58. I actually looked at it today at 55 if I wanted to be a seller, and I decided not to because it really hadn't violated and broke down. You know, false breakouts from certain levels do occur. So you want to confirm what I was looking to see if it would confirm at 55. It did not. So I waited. And of course, good thing for me. Good thing for you, because I might have put the trade out. But in the meantime, you know, 58, I would be a seller.
And of course, that's what we're looking for. We're waiting for levels. And of course, it is a holiday. So it's a tight week. It's not much to do. Tomorrow, the markets are closed. And Friday, they're open a half a day. And I don't expect a lot to happen. I'll be back tomorrow. The show will be on tomorrow. But anyway, so for football, for the early games, we're going to tell you to go along with the Detroit Lion on Thanksgiving Day to beat the Minnesota Viking. And, of course, the Dallas Cowboy to get off of their duff and beat the Los Angeles Chargers, because that's what we think. And, of course, we're on a pretty good run, and we do pretty well at this. So we're going to go ahead and use those, and we'll give the night games tomorrow if you want them. In the meantime, this is the Bubba Show, and I want to let everybody know how thankful I am that you guys tune in and listen, and to wish everybody a very happy, healthy Thanksgiving, and hope you enjoy time with your friends and family. Don't eat too much, because you're going to have to work it off, so make sure you're easy on the belt line. And that will do it for this Wednesday edition of the Bubba Show. Everybody have, a great, happy Thanksgiving, and I thank you all for being a part of the show. It's always great to bring it to you, and we'll see you back here. I will be here tomorrow and Friday, but we'll see you back tomorrow or Friday. The Bubba Show, top of boards. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow. Happy Thanksgiving. Good night, everybody.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.